Are you thankful to God always? Are you thankful at all times and in every situation of your life? Our God commands us in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are there perhaps times and situations in your life when thankfulness is not heard from you in the court of heaven? Is it perhaps that your thanksgiving is rooted only in things, rooted only in things going your way? Or is your thanksgiving to God rooted in an overwhelming praise to the God of your salvation? Can you be thankful in the darkest of days? Can you be thankful if the greatest personal horror would happen to you? Would you yet be able to say, "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation"? Thanksgiving holiday is upon us, and Thanksgiving holiday can be a very dangerous time. Very dangerous because we must remember that Thanksgiving is not a day, but Thanksgiving is to be the life to which we are called in Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say thanks only on the Lord on Thanksgiving Day, and if we put on a thankful appearance just for one day, but if that thanksgiving is not the reasonable sample of our whole lives, then we appear as hypocrites before God. If we have the notion in any form that the duty of thanks is done in one day, then we appear before God as Pharisees. And if our thanksgiving is rooted only in God's gifts, in what He gives to us, the good things that He gives to us, and not in all things, and if our thanksgiving is not rooted in God Himself, then our thanksgiving is a shallow, superficial thanksgiving, and it fades away, and worse, it is abominable before God. A true expression of thanksgiving is found in the Old Testament prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Let me read those verses to you. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Habakkuk is an example of true thanksgiving, a thanksgiving which is our duty. Habakkuk's thanksgiving was not dependent or conditioned by external things, but it was rooted in God. And it was rooted in experiencing the wonder of God's salvation. Let's look for a few moments at this wonderful thanksgiving. Habakkuk the prophet is confessing that his thanksgiving will not be infrequent. His thanksgiving will not be shallow. It will not be with starts and stops. It will not only be when things are agreeable, but his thanksgiving will be rooted in a profound and personal experience of God's salvation and in the present assurance that God was his strength. Now, Habakkuk says these things, and he promises that his praise and thanksgiving to God will be at all times out of his present situation of life, out of very real circumstances in his own life. These verses are really the climax of his faith. And if you read this prophecy, you'll find out that he did not begin on this high spiritual level. Very briefly, Habakkuk lived at a time of horrible spiritual decline, most likely during the time of the wicked King Manasseh. He was a man greatly troubled by what was happening, and he wanted to reconcile what he saw with what he believed. He saw that Israel and Judah was in a backslidden condition, She had turned away from God. She had forgotten him and given herself over to false gods and to evil pursuits. And the picture was very terrible as he presents it in the first chapter of his prophecy. He speaks of sin and violence and vice as being rampant among the people of God, while those who ruled over God's people were slack and indifferent. The law of God was not being applied. There was spiritual falling away and moral decline. And he goes on to tell us in the prophecy that he cried, he prayed, and God answered him in an altogether unexpected way. God says, "I have heard you, Habakkuk, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send evil upon this nation. I'm going to send a nation, the nation of Babylon, to conquer the land and to punish them." And then in chapter 2, God goes on to tell him his ways, how God's ways are always to be reconciled with his own holiness and greatness. And now in chapter 3, Habakkuk is responding to all of this, and he's beginning to look back upon the experience that he went through. He looks back upon the entire history of God's people, and he recalls the great things that God had done. God had dried up rivers and seas. He had destroyed horses and chariots. He had held the sun and moon still. He had wounded the head of the wicked. And he beholds the majesty of God in all of his works, especially that stupendous work in which all his power and wisdom is revealed, the salvation of his people. And so Habakkuk, now looking upon Jehovah, the God of salvation, makes an amazing promise, a pledge. And he says, "Although all around me may be turned into destruction and despair, yet I will rejoice in my God." So we have here a man who wrestled with the ways of God, who asked the question, how is it that God can be just and yet these things happened? Here's a man who for a while said, "Nothing seems to make any sense to me." But now his head is clear. His head and his mind has been brought to look upon God in submission before God. And he sees the greatness of God, brought face to face with God. And then he looks at the past, and he looks at the present in the light of the past, and he sees that God always saves his people in their distress, and he always preserves the honor of his name. And so, standing upon that plateau of faith, he makes this bold promise, "I will praise him, even though all the external supports were knocked away from me, even if every visible prop holding me up, if every peg of the stool is knocked away from under me, yet I will stand up and I will praise the Lord my God. And I will do that because I have seen my God. And I have seen that his ways are always ways of holiness and faithfulness." Now consider that. Habakkuk begins to consider the loss of all creaturely comforts. He considers what the possibility or what it would be if all the supports of his earthly life were taken away. He imagines one of the dreariest and blackest pictures a person could ever know. He speaks, of course, in terms of his days, and he uses language which is of the agriculture of his day. He says, "If the fig tree does not blossom." Now we know that the fig tree was a staple. It made cakes and food, and much of their food was dependent upon this fig tree. He speaks of the labor of the olive shall fail. Now the olive tree was to them like butter is to us. It was very important, the olive oil. Then he says, "If the fields give no meat," he's referring to the corn, the barley, the wheat, "if there is no harvest and nothing brought into the bins, and the flock is cut off from the fold," the sheep, which was also very important at that time in Israel, "if they would go out into the pastures and never return again, cut off from the fold, and if the herds and the stalls," he says, "the herds, if there be no herds in the stalls, it is the barns would stand empty and the livestock would be dead and gone." And so, in those words, he is imagining economic ruin and disaster. He's speaking about circumstances leading to famine and hunger, crying children, malnourished children. In today's terms, if we were to put verse 17 in today's terms, although there be an we would put it this way, although there would be the collapse of the economy, panic in the banks, money devaluated and worthless, jobs lost, grocery stores closed, all of our refrigerators empty, our pantries barren, savings and investments and property values lost, business eaten up and dissolved, left without a penny, possessions and cars and clothes gone, left simply with the clothes on our backs. Yet, he says, I will praise the Lord. Now, we can hardly imagine that. We can hardly imagine that because we have so much and we've always had so much. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, although my job would be gone and my income cut off and my investments liquidated and my ability to provide one mouthful of food dried up and my health and my loved ones gone and deserted from me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can you say that? That's true thanksgiving. How could he say that? Was that a vain boast? You say, well, that's impossible. Nobody could do that. How could he be confident that he would indeed, no matter how bleak his condition, still praise God? The answer is this. It was because his thankfulness and praise to God was rooted in God's salvation and in God's strength, and those can never be removed. Verses 18 and 19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The ground, the root, the deepest reason for his thanksgiving was in God and in God's faithfulness. It was not in the things that God gave to him. Oh, he was thankful for those things that God gave to him, but his thankfulness did not end, nor was it based in those things, but in the God who was the giver. Are you thankful to God? Are you thankful for God as your Savior and strength? Or are you merely thankful for what He gives you in this life? Now, don't misunderstand. Once again, we must and we are thankful for His gifts, which are so abundantly lavished upon us. All of it is given. All that we have today, not a thread of it is ours. And for all of it, we are to give him thanks, for he has placed it in our hands, and we are to use it all as his stewards. But our thanks, to be true and lasting and victorious, must dive deeper. It must be rooted in the one who has given it to us. It must ultimately be a profound thanks for God's grace. I will rejoice in the Lord, in Jehovah. He is the inexhaustible source of all my joy. I rejoice because God is my Savior. God has saved me who did not deserve to be saved. God has been rich in grace. He was thankful for the grace of God, that God would save one so lowly as himself and bring him to the heights of salvation. But not only was this the God who had saved him, but he was also the God who was his present strength. He says, he is the God of my salvation and the God of my strength. He's the God of my salvation. He has delivered me from the greatest of all woes, my sin. He is the God of my salvation. He planned it. He accomplished it. He bestowed and gave it to me. He will preserve me in my salvation and protect that salvation for me. But this Lord is also my strength. That is, he is the one who has saved me and now empowers me by his Holy Spirit. This God who has saved me is not like some picture in an album put away in a drawer, pulled out occasionally for touching memories, but he is the present explanation of my life. He upholds me. He is present in all of his power to bear me up in this life. When I fall, he picks me up. He turns to me. When I am afraid, he draws near to me. He is my faithful Savior. It was out of a personal and true and amazing experience of salvation that Habakkuk was able to pledge that he would give God thanks always, no matter the external state. He knew that he belonged to the living God, and therefore he knew that he always had a reason to be thankful. That's thanksgiving. And it is that thanksgiving which is independent of our external life. Our thanksgiving, then, must not owe its existence simply to the external blessings. But we, too, must contemplate the fact that one day we will lose all. We may place our dear ones in the grave. We may walk a dark valley of trial. We may be given severe afflictions, headaches, pains, diabetes. We may tremble in the night of personal despair and desperation, mental anguish and depression. But as long as God is our God, which depends upon Him and His faithfulness, we will still have a reason to praise Him, to rejoice, to joy in the God of our salvation and in the God of our strength. And so Habakkuk is exuberant. He's jubilant. He says he shall praise God with an abandonment. He will rejoice. He shall be like the young calf or cow that is let out of the barn after the long winter. And that calf, that cow, will lift up its feet and run and kick its feet in joy. He shall walk, he says, upon the high places. The idea is of victory, rest, serene, above, victorious. He will possess a great spiritual joy. Sometimes this great spiritual joy is reflected outwardly in song and smile and happiness. Sometimes this spiritual joy is seen in tears of sorrow. But nevertheless, this joy and this thankfulness is unquenchable. It is victorious because it is rooted in the God of our salvation. Do you know this God? Do you know His salvation, freely given, of His grace alone? Is He your strength? Do you belong to Him? Then what situation is there in which you cannot praise Him? Even if your situation today be one of pain and trial, and the temptation would be great for you to murmur and to complain, you have the greatest reason to praise Him, for He is the God of your salvation and your strength. And you may say, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Let's go back to where we started today. Are you thankful always? Are you thankful in all things? Do you possess an overwhelming praise to God, your Savior? You see, thanksgiving is born only in one place, at the foot of the cross, when God by His grace shows you who you are, a fallen sinner, and He reveals His amazing love and grace in Christ Jesus, His faithfulness and His salvation. Then you will be thankful. Thankful at all times. Thankful in every way. Then, no matter the condition of your outward life, knowing God as your Savior and strength, you too shall yet rejoice in the Lord your God and praise Him all your days. May God bless this holy word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee that we may know that our salvation is of Thee. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we may know that Thou art faithful, that Thou art our strength, and that therefore Thou wilt not remove Thy salvation from us. Teach us then in every way to be thankful to Thee. now and always. For Jesus' sake, amen.